Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. Today we have a very, very full show. Firstly, as we promised last week, we're gonna discuss Black Lightning. I'm now caught up. And we're also gonna talk about Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Paul is now caught up. Got a few things to say about Gerard Butler, or is it Jeremy Renner? Who knows? Tom Jones makes an appearance. Well, not actually, but we're going to talk about him. I'll give a Naltrexone update, and we will give a Tits and Dragons update.
Right.
You know, before we get into everything, let me just say, this past week went extremely fast.
I think I know why.
It was weird. It was weird because yesterday, I'm thinking, didn't we just record a show? Like, Tomorrow's Wednesday. Didn't we just get done having Wednesday? Wednesday's coming faster now, isn't it? And I realized a lot of Wednesdays went by.
Yes.
That were just Wednesday.
Yep.
It was like, what good is Wednesday if it's just Wednesday? You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Wednesday, the little girl on the Addams Family.
Yeah, those Wednesdays and those weeks went by painfully slow. And that I was in my exile. And then, like you said, when we recorded last Wednesday, and I looked at my calendar today, I'm like, oh, today's Wednesday. So it was like, when did this happen?
It reminds me of The Jerk. He's like, the first week went by, and it seemed like a month. And then the second week, I was missing you even more, and it seemed like a year. And then the third week, I met a friend, and it went pretty fast. That seemed like a day. And then the next week, was nothing really happened. So that seemed like just a week. And then, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be back in the saddle.
Speaking of Wednesday, you know, I keep on Facebook, I keep track of like celebrity birthdays and stuff that are influential on me. Yeah, influential on me.
Really? I never noticed.
You never noticed that? See, this is why Facebook sucks. Nobody gets my posts. I swear to God.
I'm kidding.
No, I know.
I just. The other thing I never see you do is post a song and say, you're welcome.
I'm not going to go into that. That's an inside joke.
Hey. How can I not be in on an inside joke? I'm a little bit pissed off right now.
I think if you thought hard enough, you are in on the inside joke.
Oh, now I feel stupid.
Today would have been Warren Zevon's birthday.
Seriously.
It's also my former stepson, Aiden. He's 18 today.
Neil Diamond?
Neil Diamond was on my bucket list, but now that's not going to happen.
Is he dead?
No, he's retired from performing because he has, like, Alzheimer's or dementia or something to that effect. So, yeah, he's done.
Let's talk about Aiden for a second.
Okay. He's a longtime listener of the show, by the way.
Well, happy birthday to Aiden. Let me say, happy birthday to Aiden, first of all.
Yeah.
Welcome to adulthood. You can now vote and go to war, but you can't drink.
You can't drink, but you can buy cigarettes, so you're, you know.
And lottery tickets.
And lottery tickets. Him and his buddies, who are all, I've talked about him on the show, my young gamers that come over and play, like, yeah. D&D. Him and his buddies are all fans of the show when they listen to it, so that's pretty cool. You know, we have an 18-year-old and up demographic now.
Well, welcome to adulthood, Mr. Aiden. We love it. I've had a pretty uneventful week. I mean, the whole weekend was all kid stuff, and then we had Monday, and then last couple days my daughter's been sick, and so I've stayed home from work because my wife has had meetings that she had to go to. Today, the roads were super slick because it was icy out.
Yeah, up here too.
So I drove my oldest because my youngest was sick again. So I drove my oldest to school. Took forever to do it because, you know, roads were slick.
Mm-hmm.
So I get back home. The wife goes out, you know, to her meeting. About 20 minutes after she left, phone rings. She's like, I'm like, hello. She's like, hello. Like, I could tell, you know, when you've been married for 20 some odd years.
Wonderful some odd years.
24. Yeah. This year will be 24. I better save up some money. Our 25th is coming up.
Mm.
Anyway, you kind of can recognize the tone. And like when she said hello, nobody else would have been able to detect what I detected. I was like, I'm about to get some bad news. She's like, well, they didn't salt the top of the hill at 75th Street.
Mm.
I was like, ah, they didn't salt the top of the hill. It's the worst news I've heard today. They did not salt the top of the hill at 75th Street. She's like, I have worse news. It's like, what? I slid off the road and hit a guardrail. Like, that's the worst news I've heard today. She's like, I have even worse news. I was like, what? She's like, it damaged my car. Like, that's not so bad. We have insurance. Are you okay? She's like, so I've noticed this etiquette on Facebook. If you post that you're in an accident, it doesn't matter if you say you're okay or not. Someone will reply, are you okay?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So my question is, if you are ever in an accident and like you broke your neck or a couple of limbs or, you know, you had some internal hemorrhaging or something, would you post on Facebook, hey, I had an accident today. Oh, man, hope my car is going to be okay. And not mention that you're in the hospital with severe injuries. Would you ever do that?
Well, obviously not. I think that just goes into the you have to say something thing.
Why not just say, you know, thoughts and prayers? I mean,
maybe that person's an atheist and doesn't think much.
What about good vibes and thoughts?
Maybe that's done. Maybe people don't do that anymore. Maybe a certain type of people do that, but not the type of people that you know.
Well, I think you're right. I jest, but I think you're right. I think it falls in the category of, I want to say something. I care about this person.
Yeah.
And I think the thing I'm supposed to say is, are you okay? And then when I get the yes, I'm okay, I can come back with the thing. Well, the car can be repaired.
Yeah.
But if you had been hurt, you know, that would, like, well, yeah, but you know, we have medical science. People can be repaired too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
That takes me back to when we were, you know, much, much younger. And me and Dee and Chuck were in a car accident at like 1 o'clock in the morning. He slid off the road. Chuck slid off the road twice. That's all I'm going to say.
Twice. And off one side and then the other?
Off one side, back on, and then over into the other.
That's not as hard to do as it sounds.
Well, if I could explain to you where it happened, you'd go like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where that happened.
400 West, right?
Well,
right? Like, like as you're coming from the church, where it turns left and then turns right again?
That's exactly where it happened.
Yeah.
Well, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so we had to walk all the way back to my house because that's where we were headed. And
that's a long damn way.
It was quite a walk. Dee ended up getting poisoned something because we were trying to get his car out of the ditch. And about as we're working on this, trying to get this, rocking this car out, Dee's like, I think I'm allergic to this. And I looked at him, and he was, I mean, like just pockmarks, swelling. And it was like, well, let's get you out of the ditch. But we walked all the way to my house. My parents were asleep. And I went in and I woke my parents up, and my dad jumps out of bed, and it's not even his car. And he's like, "Is the car okay?" I'm like, "We're fine, Dad."
It's a programmed response.
It was so funny.
So two quick things about ice and snowy roads, and then we'll get on to Black Lightning.
Yes, I heard it. But digress.
But I'm imagining my wife listening to the show. Mm. If I don't mention these two things, she's gonna feel less than satisfied. So, one, when she was a teenager, like she had just gotten her license, right? Mm. And her dad's like it snowed. The roads are icy, snowy. He's like, "All right, I'm gonna show you how to drive on slick roads. Okay, come on." And like they get in the car, she gets the passenger seat, in the driver's seat, and she's like, "Well, they taught us this in driver's ed. I think, I'm gonna show you how to do it, right?" So he gets out and he's like, "Here, so for example, if you get into a, and he starts sliding the car around, he's like, "Then you steer this way, you steer that way, and steer, it's wow." Bam. Into a curb, up over the curb, into somebody's yard. Right? He's like, "So that's how you don't do it."
That's right. I did the same thing when I was teaching my oldest kitchen safety, and I burned my thumb. And I looked.
Nice.
Grease jumped out of the pan and burned my skin. And I looked there, I said, "Now see, that's how you don't do it."
That's what can happen. So you know how they say men marry their mom,
mm-hmm.
And women marry their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Smash cut. We've been married about 5 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're headed back to Chicago from my parents. We're driving up toward 39 on 900 North,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was like, "Now these roads are kind of slick. I'm pretty good at driving on slick roads.
Mm-hmm.
So let me show you how you do this, like the opposite steering in the opposite direction,
yeah,
and all that stuff." She's like, I know how to do that." And I was like, "Yeah, but I've pretty special technique on this." And she's like, "Well, okay, show me what you got." Right? I'm like, "Okay, here we go." I throw it into like a fishtail. It's fishtailing. I'm turning the wheel, I'm like, "What? Here we go. And then it starts sliding, and she's like, Steve, whop, right into the ditch. And we sat there for what seemed like 10 minutes. I got my hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel. I'm staring straight ahead. She's staring straight ahead. And I look over at her, and she's still staring straight ahead. And I just go, "Sorry." And then she just starts cracking up. Oh man.
Oh Lord.
So we called my mom, and my mom came and got a tow truck and all that. But I was like, at that point, I did not know about the story about her dad.
Oh.
She didn't tell me that until later.
That's funny.
It's like, please, nobody else try to show me how to drive on slick roads.
What's funny about that is it reminds me, like, when after our little accident, and I mean, that car was pretty fucked up. I mean, he fucked it up pretty bad. But we got no end of lambasting for our ridiculousness, right? Well,
yeah,
just about maybe a year ago, smash cut, 30 years later. About a year ago, my dad and I were sitting in his garage talking about stuff, and I had brought up that incident. And he goes, "Oh, you mean where you jumped the one ditch, landed and flipped around and landed in the other?" I'm like, "Yep." He goes, "That's okay. Me and my," I forget what his buddies, but it's me and so-and-so, the same thing happened to us about 20 years before that. And I'm like, "What?" Really?
That's funny.
It was that exact same corner.
Did I? I don't. I'm pretty sure I told you, but you might have forgotten. My brother and I. My brother was driving.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the passenger seat. He ran in. We didn't do the one ditch and then the other, but he went off into the ditch on the right, and was on top of me. I'm like in the passenger seat, and he's on me, and I'm like, shouldn't you be over there driving? And he got us back out, but I was like, well, that was weird. Don't tell mama and daddy.
That's right. All right. I remember one morning on the way to school in the middle of the winter, my older brother was driving us to school, and you know, he was showing off to this girl that was in the car, and he put us in the ditch over there where Jason Crane lived yeah. when they were kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, seriously, buried us in the ditch. So there's my scrawny 130-pound ass out there trying to rock this car out of the ditch. And I remember thinking, there's a perfectly good bus that comes by the house every day.
If I start now, I might be able to catch the bus.
It's like,
what if Steve is still out there?
It's just like, why am I here? What am I doing?
It's weird. You know what's weird?
Mm.
All those years, nobody ever gave me a ride to school.
Really?
I had to ride the bus every damn day.
You know, that's weird. I guess he just figured that you were riding with Mike to school in the morning, so that's why we never gave you a ride. I don't know. My brother's weird.
What a top.
Let's talk about Black Lightning.
All right.
So I've watched both episodes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, judging by what I was messaging you earlier, I was catching up shortly before we started recording.
Right.
And let me just say, you know, I haven't really watched a lot of superhero movies. Like, there's a lot of superhero movies.
Yeah.
Right? CW, The W, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu.
Yeah, even Hulu.
CW, The W. I don't know. There's a bunch of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I find is something I think you mentioned last week is a whole lot of people standing around talking.
Yep. That's mostly that's all of them. Honestly, that's all of them. Yeah.
It's like, well.
Almost all of them. We'll get to that in a minute.
What do you think we should do about the run-of-the-mill, boring crime that's going on in this town? Well, maybe we should let the police do their job. That sounds like a good idea. I'm going to wait here with you for two or three more episodes. We'll continue talking about waiting for the police to do their job. And we'll go from there. See what happens after that. I'm like, I ain't watching no more of this.
Yeah.
Right? But the pilot. Okay. First of all, spoiler alert. Right? Spoilers will abound.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much I loved about the pilot. For those that don't know, Black Lightning is a... So now you're going to get the non-comic book reader version.
That's great. I was hoping for that, honestly. I figure your experience with Black Lightning is what you've seen and what I've told you. I want to get your lowdown on it, honestly, because that's like... The reason why these shows do so well isn't because comic book readers run out and watch them. It's because everybody watches them. So the majority of the audience is uninitiated viewers.
Yeah, I think you're going to... I think this one, based on what I've seen, I think you're going to see a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
I think you're going to see a lot of people like picking up the show and just going, hey, that's a pretty good show. Sort of like how The Walking Dead like picked up a bunch of, you know, people that had never heard of the comic book.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
The graphic novel.
No, you don't apologize. They're comic books. I don't know what the fuck these graphic novels are people talk about.
One of the things I love about it is it would be a great show even if there was nobody in it that had superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the character is revealed throughout the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
The origin story happened more than 9 years before the pilot.
Yeah.
Probably many more than 9 years. We don't know. What we do know is 9 years ago, from when the pilot is, the Black Lightning decided not to be Black Lightning anymore.
Right.
which happens with a lot of superheroes. Mm-hmm. The hero's journey in general mm-hmm. is about the hero is reluctant.
Yes.
One of the beauties of this show is it doesn't start with, oh, here's some regular guy. He goes into a laboratory and gets electrocuted. And now he's Black Lightning, right?
Right.
One thing that I've heard is the best place to start a story is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there's a Latin term for that, but I can't pronounce it.
Like a lot of people would say, where should I start this story? Why don't you start at the beginning? No. Don't start at the beginning. Start in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like right when something super interesting is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the guy's name is Jefferson Pierce, mm-hmm. which I love.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Hawkeye.
Not the superhero, but the character from MASH. We gotta
right.
We have to specify.
We have to make that distinction.
Who was played by Jeremy Renner in the Avengers movies?
Right, not Gerard Butler in the Avenger movies, but Alan Alda in the series. He's a high school principal and trying to do good. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like saving lives, right? He's getting kids to see their value and see that they're worthy of a good life, teaching them things that'll get them good jobs or good careers or whatever. And his daughters get caught up in gang activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like the daughters aren't gang people,
yeah,
but they somehow get caught up. I'm not going to give all the details.
Right.
And the police aren't doing anything. Because there's this gang, which I love. I love the name of the gang. Mm-hmm. The name of the gang is the 100.
Right.
And you're like, are there 100 of them? So it's one of the things I had to Google.
Oh, okay. Because I won't meta, but yeah.
I found out that something that's kind of cool is the 100 gang is not just a Black Lightning gang.
Right.
It's in other stories as well.
Yep.
Including Batman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Other DC stories, right?
Yeah.
So I think there were only like 87 of them, and they named themselves the 100 in honor of 13 of their brethren who had been killed in some sort of battle. So anyway, so it's a gang. And when I first heard that there was a gang called the 100, and they were like the gang that was like taking over the city, I thought, all right, let me imagine what this gang looks like. Probably a bunch of white dudes, like dressed up. They're probably right out of the Warriors, right? I'm thinking this gang is probably a gang like we thought a gang was when we were kids.
No shirt, right? But they wear vests, you know.
Yeah.
And they have those boots with the fringes on them.
Right. They might be Italian or maybe possibly Hispanic, although recently portraying Hispanics in a bad light is not as popular as it used to be. So probably Italian, because I don't think we have a problem with making fun of Italians these days. But anyway, so they show the gang and they're black. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
A black? Like gang members who are black? Really? Like, oh, this might be a different kind of show.
this goes into what I told you last week about how sooner or later Fox News is going to call Black Lightning too black.
Yeah. So what I was saying earlier, like even if he didn't have any superpowers,
mm-hmm.
this would be a compelling show
because
mm-hmm. they're dealing with like real issues,
mm-hmm.
even though things are like blown up and sort of caricaturized. A little bit, it's still pretty realistic. Like in the pilot, in the first 10 or 15 minutes, the principal of the local high school, mm-hmm. who everybody loves, gets pulled over by a cop in the rain.
And you know full well that cop knew he was the principal of the school in that town, but he did it anyway.
Old boy handcuffs him, drags him back to the squad car and asks the stereotypically Asian lady, which again, it's kind of true. A lot of people who own convenience stores are of Asian persuasion. Ask her, is this the guy? She's like, no, that's not the guy. He's like, hey, you know what? The description was African-American male, right? So, of course, we pulled you over and handcuffed you.
In a suit and tie, driving a mid-sized Volvo wagon as his getaway car. Yes. Everything you've described so far as is what makes that show so good is it's very on point with the environment, with the what's going on. It's very topical. It's very, very topical.
So I had this, like, after seeing the first episode, seeing the first time. So, spoiler alert, he doesn't want to be Black Lightning anymore. He's trying to get back with his ex-wife, who is fine. She is so fine. He's trying to get back with her. And, of course, it's sort of like the retired cop thing. It's like, oh, I hated being a cop's wife, and so I divorced you because you couldn't stop. And he's like, oh, I'm done. It's been 9 years. I'm done. I'm done being Black Lightning. And then their daughters get kidnapped, and she's like, Jeff, go get our kid.
I loved that. That was like, that was a goosebump moment. But as a buddy of mine pointed out, he's like, typical woman. Don't be Black. Go get my kids.
but she took responsibility later.
Yeah.
Which is not a typical woman thing to do.
Yeah.
Like later on, she's like, I'm so sorry. I feel guilty because I told you to go get our girls. Typical man thing to do is not let the woman take responsibility. He's like, that was my decision. But as I was watching the first episode, I had the question that I often have, which is, why is it that you have this guy who everybody knows in town? Everybody knows Jeff. Everybody knows Jefferson Pierce, Principal Pierce, right?
Black Jesus.
Black Jesus. Exactly. That's funny because I think actual Jesus was probably black.
Yes.
But anyway, we digress. He was at least... dark shade of tan. Okay, so everybody knows him, right? But the minute he puts on a mask that only covers this part of his face, nobody recognizes him. And I thought, that's like a Lone Ranger thing, right? Which, back in 1947, when Lone Ranger was on, I was okay with suspending.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, all right, so I get it. You know, they didn't want to... Clayton Moore would have been hot in a full, like, ski mask.
That's what the original Lone Ranger actually wore, a full face mask.
But that would have been hot for Clayton Moore, right? And then in episode two, in a very short, like, almost a throwaway.
You almost don't catch it.
You almost don't catch it.
Yep.
But I did because I was worried about it. I was like, is this one thing going to ruin this show for me? Somebody asked, because when he rescued his daughters, he was Black Lightning. But they didn't know he was Black Lightning. I'm like, that's your dad. How you know that's not your dad? And her fine daughter, who is an adult.
Yes.
She's a teacher, so she's well into her 20s.
Yes, the one woman on this planet you do not want to call a bitch, clearly.
She is super sexy.
Yes, she is.
Right? Has a, in her... Her girlfriend, her lesbian lover. That's weird. I could probably have just said her girlfriend, her lover.
Yeah.
Probably didn't have to say her lesbian lover because I've already pointed out that she was a girl. Anyway, so her girlfriend is like, what was it like seeing Black Lightning? And she's like, well, I looked at his face, but it was hard to look at. Like looking at the sun. Like you couldn't really even see. It was just like bright light.
Yeah.
And then they moved on.
Yeah.
They like didn't focus on it. It's almost like somebody in the writer's room was like, unless Tony addressed this when he wrote it. I don't know. Did Tony address it in the comic book? Or?
Well, recently he's vastly improved the man's powers. So I don't know as of issue two of the new series if he's addressed it yet. But
I'm just wondering if this was Isabella's thing in the comic book, or if some screenwriter said, maybe we should address why nobody recognizes him.
I'll tell you what, I'll ask him.
I was just super satisfied because I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, screenwriters, or Tony Isabella, for pointing that out to me. My list just goes on and on and on. The soundtrack
is amazing. This,
I feel like I want to get the soundtrack just for when I make love.
This TV show right now is like watching a movie. The soundtrack is on point. The camera work is on point. The story is tightly woven. The dialogue fucking snaps like a whip when his ex-wife and the guy that made his suit are talking back and forth to each other. That dialogue is like a whip, and it's such a well put together show, and it's got the humor, like, you know, when he when the dude holds the elevator for him, he's like, I got you, because I'm just getting back into this. I could use some cardio.
brother need to get a little exercise.
So he takes the stairs.
Need to get some exercise wherever you can get it. I actually, one of my notes is, I love how they reveal character through dialogue.
Yes.
Because one of the jobs you have as a screenwriter, not that I know, mm-hmm. I'm not a screenwriter, but when you're writing a new show, one of the things you got to do is like, well, I got to reveal who these characters are.
Yes.
And I got to make people care about them.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you do that? Do you, you know?
Yeah. You have to
a voiceover saying who this person is?
Yeah.
And they do it through dialogue better than a lot of shows I've seen.
TV shows tend to have a lot of different story writers. Right now, the storyline is written by the same person. And that helps to keep a really tight plot and a really tight characterization. The problem you run into when you're trying to figure out how to reveal character through dialogue and stuff is, like, how do you not just make it exposition? How do you not just make it, you know, say what the character needs to say to make the plot move on? You know, the ABC pattern of storytelling. This one doesn't do it at all.
Well, it's like I wrote this note actually probably within the first 30 minutes. I don't remember exactly, but so they're at the awards banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff sees his ex-wife, walks over to her, and she says, you know, your daughter, I heard your daughter got arrested. And he's like, well, my daughter, huh? When she gets arrested, last I checked, we have joint custody and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that whole, like, within 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
they covered a lot of what, you know, lesser shows would have taken 3 episodes to cover.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we need them to know that they were married at one time and that they're now divorced and that, you know, they have joint custody, but, you know, they have this tension between them about, you know, who's raising the kids right and who's not, who's making good decisions, who's not making good decisions. So we need a few episodes to develop that in the character. And I'm like, no, you don't. You just need 10 seconds of dialogue. Yeah. Or like what you were saying, where the ex-wife goes in and sees the equivalent of Q, like the James Bond Q, mm-hmm. not Q, is it Q? The guy that has all the gadgets.
Yeah, I think it's Q.
Or, what's the guy's name in Batman? Alfred. So she goes and sees the Black Lightning version of Alfred in a clothing store. And who's white, by the way. And I was like, are you saying a black man needs a white man to make all his costume and everything, like to enable him, like a black man? It couldn't be another black man? Like, anyway, she goes and talks to him. And to your point, like, they reveal the whole tension between her and him in, like, 45 seconds of dialogue.
It's some of the best dialogue I've seen in a TV show in a very long time. One of the charms of the show for me is he's old.
Yeah.
We're old. He's a dad. We're a dad.
Dad
when,
and daughters.
In the second episode, when he wakes up on the bed, and he's just like, oh. It's like, it's just one of the things, that's a funny way of saying it, but one of the things I love about it so far is it shows how violence has consequence. If you watch any of the other CW superhero shows or any of the Netflix superhero shows, with the exception of Luke Cage, which is another whole different story that we might get to sometime, they're very, like, I mean, these guys will do parkour combat stuff and just walk away from it like, you know, they're a little dusty, you know. I'm like, no, you just got punched in the ribs, you fell off of a building, you know, you did all this stuff and you're just going to get up and walk away from it. But in this show, it shows that this kind of stuff does have consequences, be it people getting hurt, people dying. Just, it just shows how dangerous it really is.
So a lot of sort of nuance and a lot of sort of fanboy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who are listening, maybe the fanboy stuff isn't your thing. Look, this is a good show. Mm-hmm. If you like This Is Us, for example, if that is a show that you enjoy, you will not like this show. But if you like shows like Pootie Tang or I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, you'll probably like this one.
Right.
It's not, this is like, if you take a blaxploitation movie,
mm-hmm.
right, and think about what the opposite of a blaxploitation movie might be, this is kind of like this show.
Mm-hmm.
It portrays, oh, here's what I was thinking. If you take the most racist, like you can take David Duke and go, here, watch this show. He would start out going, serves him right. He's black people. See the problem, black people? It's black people is the problem that black people have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by like halfway through episode one, he'll go, I don't know what I would do in that. What would I do in that situation? And it has all the great things about a show where you go, they put the characters in situations that make you go, what would I do in that situation? You know?
Yes.
I think it would make the most racist person kind of step back and go, yeah, they are kind of in a tough spot. You know?
Right.
Maybe our black listener will send us a message and let me know if I'm right.
We have two now.
I got to get that soundtrack, though, because one of the things I was thinking today, I was like, first of all, there's a lot of really good-looking black people in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, they're like love experts. Like when it comes to love, making love, and being sexy and all that stuff, it's like they got the moves, they got the music, they got the words, they got the voice. It's just like, damn. How do they not, like, everybody just start having sex all the time together? Because I'd be like, damn. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know how much of that is going to make it on the show.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. so strange without you there. Things have changed. When nighttime calls, there's a blanket of blue. Another cheek I fall in my lonely room. I said I ain't no love in the heart of the city. There ain't no love
Welcome back to the Don't Panic radio show. Before we move on, I just want to address one thing. All right. People might be like, why is Steve like super horny about Black Lightning? What's going on? I just want to say, I went into it with not huge expectations. Mm-hmm. Now I do trust you and I, you know, but our tastes, while we share a lot of tastes about things, there's, you know, a few things that we don't share.
Right.
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 Like you like some things that I'm not huge on. I like some things you're not huge on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, superhero. Am I going to like it? It's going to be boring. And I was like, the first episode, I was just, I was like, oh my God, I love this show. Right. And so that's why I had all that in my talking might have been a little disjointed because I just like had all this stuff I wanted to get out. All the things I like. So I'm going to keep watching this show.
Okay.
And I know you are. Mm. And so we'll just check in from time to time.
Yeah.
Week to week and talk about the show. So, hey, listeners, go check it out. We'd like to thank CW for supporting the show through their generous contributions, but all you listeners, go watch Black Lightning. That having been said, so last we talked,
mm-hmm.
You had not seen Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi,
right?
But if I am to understand correctly, you have now seen it.
Yes, I have.
So I talked about my thoughts last week. How about we hear what you thought of the latest installment in the George Lucas epic?
Let me gather my thoughts.
Something tells me you're not going to agree with.
Oh, this. No. Okay. I'm a Star Wars purist in that I think that New Hope is the only Star Wars movie they needed to make. I think everything that's come after New Hope has contradicted New Hope. I absolutely hate Empire Strikes Back. I love Jedi. You can, you know, I know that's like a controversial, you know, opinion to have. I was not a fan of the prequels, as were nobody apparently, you know, over the age of 40. I thought Force Awakens was pretty much derivative. I thought Rogue One was pretty pointless after I've seen it a couple times. I liked it when it first came out because it was different. I liked the way it seemed like it was filmed in like real time. I liked the humanness of the characters, but after two or three times of watching it, I decided I didn't like it. Like, how many times you got to watch something to decide, after two or three times of touching a stove, I decided it was hot. All that having been said, I thought The Last Jedi was great. I don't know where to begin. I thought that the story, for the first time since the original trilogy was over, this movie didn't just carbon copy the other fucking movies. Yes, it played a little bit into Destiny, which has always been a big deal about the Force. I get it. That's a theme. But as far as just taking the same damn plot and doing it over and over again.
I mean, Last Jedi. It's like, okay, they destroyed the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they'll make another Death Star.
Yeah.
Or The Force Awakens. Let's turn a planet into a Death Star. Yes. And let's make it destroy a whole solar system. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Keep going. I'm picking up what you're laying down. I'm smelling what you're cooking.
It's funny to me, on a side note, it's funny to me how I read an article where there was enough Carrie Fisher footage that wasn't in this movie that they're going to put her in the next one. And it kills me that this... Okay, Star Wars started out as Luke Skywalker's journey through, life. But what I find interesting and quite moving, honestly, is how this has become the Carrie Fisher vehicle. She is so big. All of my female friends and a lot of my male friends, and myself included, like, every time she would come on camera, we would get like just that whole weird, you almost hear Princess Leia's theme every time she was on the camera. But as far as...
Did you know she changed her hair?
I like the reverse Bride of Frankenstein hairdo she had. It was pretty cool. I like the fact that they're trying to... I think maybe those first couple movies were important. The first couple movies in the new series are important because they were trying to transition between the old and the new, because the old were getting old. Han Solo's like 75 years old. He's not going to be running around. And, of course, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, all those guys, they're the actors are just old. So they wanted to kind of transition into these new characters. Poe and Rey and Tracy Morgan and...
You mean Michael Shea?
Michael Shea.
That's racist.
They're trying to transition into these new characters and make us old guys give a shit about the new characters.
So the original, the myth was that George Lucas had 9 episodes in mind.
No, that's total bullshit. That is total bullshit.
I completely agree, but it's still the prevalent mythology, right? So even if they make another like off timeline, non canonical, whatever you want to call it, like Rogue One, which they will,
yeah.
So next year they'll come out with some other thing, but then the year after that in 2020, there'll be or 2019, whichever, there'll be episode 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to be satisfied with just 2 more? Or do you think they're trying to reboot this thing to try to move on to a Star Trek like. We'll just make as many episodes as we want.
That's, you know, this is Disney we're talking about. They will be making. We will be food for the worms, and they will still be making Star Wars movies.
So you think Disney's going, our children's grandchildren need a revenue stream.
Yeah.
So we're going to set this thing up so that our children's grandchildren's children.
The amount of money that they paid George Lucas to be able to make these movies. They've got to get their return and then some.
Oh, they've already gotten their return.
But it's the and then some on a Disney scale, which is there is no limit. They will make movies until the end of time.
The mouse needs more cheese.
There's really nothing in this movie that I can pick apart so much. One of the things you and I talked about a while back about movies is, can't we just fucking go to the movies? Why is there so much, like, criticism and expectation and all this stuff in movies now? And can't we just go watch a movie, have fun, and go home and talk about it and have fun with it? We can't do that anymore. Everything has to be... I blame YouTube for this in a lot of ways, because YouTube has no shortage of, like, review videos, speculation videos. That turns the average viewer into an armchair director, an armchair critic. And we get super critical about things. And it's like, can't we just watch a fucking movie and have fun with it? You know, we talked about last week, we talked about the last Star Trek movie. And we didn't talk about anything else about the Star Trek movie except the fact that there was a Beastie Boys song in the movie. That's what I'm talking about. Can't we just go?
I know you planned it.
Can't we just go to a movie, get our popcorn, have fun? No, there's so much. There's too much pressure to go to the movies anymore. This movie. I don't care what the pressure is. This was just a fun this was the most fun transitional movie. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of any other way to describe it. But as far as getting back to my earlier thing, my favorite key moments in the movie is, of course, Yoda. They could make a Yoda movie, and I wouldn't care. For me, the best part is when, you know, at the end, when the remaining rebels are trapped in the bunker, and they those weird icy fox things find their way out, and they get to the end of it, and there's no way to get out, and Rey's on the other end, and she goes, lifting rocks. Because that's what Jedi do. I lost it. I thought that was just, to me, the best little bit of dialogue, because it just rang so true. It's like lifting rocks, and the whole and the message about, well, this is, you know, how are we gonna start over? We only have this. Well, that's all we need, you know, to get it going again. And that's kind of like a reflection of this movie, in that the transition from the old to the new. All they need are these new characters that apparently people really do like, because there's countless memes about them on Facebook and whatnot. There's countless, you know, video reviews of them. And people reference them all the time now. It's like that. This is all we need was one of the closing lines, if not the closing line of the movie. I fucking loved it. I don't get people's problem with it. And like I said, I'm a fucking purist. I don't think anything needed to be made after New Hope. I haven't been satisfied with anything that has come out of Star Wars since New Hope until this movie.
That's a strong statement.
Well, I have my opinions.
All right. So, a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. One, and I'm embarrassed that I don't know the answer to this.
Okay.
Yoda. Mm-hmm. Was that Yoda Yoda? Was that like came back to life Yoda? Was that like Obi-Wan Kenobi in Empire Strikes Back Yoda?
Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, that, so Yoda, yes. When did Yoda die?
In Jedi.
How did he die?
He was 900 years old. He just died.
Yeah, but still. You're just going to say natural causes when motherfucker's 900 years old?
I don't think when you're 900 years old, ain't nothing natural.
People go, well, he was 900. He lived a good long life. I'm like, so if he had died when he was 700, would you have said, too soon, too young. Too young. No, you would have said 700. He lived a good long life. No, you got to go all the way back to like 60 before you go, too young. Unless you're talking about like 1452, then you'd be like 60. Nice long life.
That's like, you know? That's like three generations.
What I'm saying is you're 900 and you die. The reaction's got to be, damn, I thought he might make it to 1,000.
That's right. He was so close to 1,000.
So that Yoda, even though it didn't look like semi-transparent or anything like that, he kind of did. Spirit Yoda.
That was Spirit Yoda, because that's a thing apparently Jedis can do.
Okay, obviously. Yeah. So I like that. You know what else I liked? I think Mark Hamill. Wait, is that the right name? Mark Hamill?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's...
Wait, which character?
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
I get the guy that played Luke Skywalker and the ice skating champion confused.
That's Dorothy Hamill. They have the same last name.
Okay. So Mark Hamill is the guy that played Luke Skywalker, right?
Yes.
All right. To me... He rehabilitated himself.
Yes.
Because when I go back and watch A New Hope and Empire and all those,
mm-hmm.
I just hate Luke Skywalker. I hate him because he's a pussy. He's like a fucking like, oh, what do we do to him? I don't know what to do next. What am I supposed to do? Where's my dad? Oh,
father.
Oh. I'm like, this one, he was badass. He was like grumpy, pissed off, like fucking like, get off my lawn, kind of Jedi, right? I love.
And old men, this is the no episode for old men episode. Because we had Black Lightning being an old man, being, you know, sore in the morning, and Luke Skywalker being the crotchety, grumpy old man that we can all easily relate to.
Yes.
But then
and I just loved that he was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Off you shall fuck.
Yes. Take and, your fucks and go off.
And I loved like when they were doing the like all the fucking Imperial Walkers, which we could do a whole episode on Imperial Walkers.
I think we have.
When they were doing that, and they're like shooting him, and he won't die or whatever, mm-hmm. He didn't die. I was like, ugh. I loved the whole movie. I might be out at this point. And then, which I should have realized, but I didn't, it's like, oh, that was like hallucination, the hologram, dude.
Do you know what the tell was for that?
What?
How it wasn't really a big surprise for me.
Was it the part where they said, well, how did he get in here?
No, because he's a Jedi. One of the few things I enjoyed about the prequel, particularly I think it was the second one, where when two Jedi showed up on a planet to do something, the Empire lost its shit. It was like, oh shit, there's two Jedi here. When they made it a point to show you that when you walked on the surface of that planet and disturbed the salt residue that was on the top of the layer, the whatever the red clay was underneath it shows up. Luke doesn't leave footprints.
Ah,
yeah.
Good point. Yeah. All right, so two thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this about Gerard Butler. All right. He's Scottish, and I think you might have told me that at one point.
Yes.
I love the video that you posted.
I'll put it on the website.
And let me also say I work with a Scottish dude.
Mm-hmm.
And today, as I may have mentioned earlier, the roads were super icy, right? Mm-hmm. And he actually texted to me and the other guy we work with that the roads are terrible. He's like, you know, if you don't have to go into work, don't go into work, whatever. He's like, I live next to a gridding station and they just now have gotten started. And this was like 8:30. And I looked at it and it was like gridding station, gridding. It's like, oh, I know what that is. Because I was able to, you know, I have deductive reasoning skills. But the other guy wasn't sure. And he's like, I had to look that up. I didn't know what that was. And I was like, yeah, you know, I like to put grit on my chips that I have with my fish. Of course, he meant salt.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing he mentioned was, and so we had this whole conversation about how that was funny. And then he says, okay, so I probably shouldn't talk about how as I was driving in, my backside was really loose. It's like, no, you probably shouldn't talk about your loose backside.
You're like, have you met me? I did a whole show on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So listening to Jeremy Renner talk about his Scottish heritage reminded me of that. Moving on to the next topic.
I have a Gerard Butler thing.
Okay, go ahead. Olympus has fallen?
No. I haven't had the chance to check it out, but I found a video or whatever it's called in defense of Gerard Butler, and it has to do with how he's like the shit movie king right now, which I take offense to because some of his movies are once again too much pressure. Can't we just enjoy a stupid movie? You know, can't we just have fun with a movie? If you haven't yet, because I know you're a fan of Mr. Butler. I do like
the guy.
Yeah. You need to see Rock and Roller.
All right. Right here. Is it? Remind me to see Rock and Roller.
Okay. I'll remind you.
All right. Well, tell you what, man. That's about as much show as anybody needs.
That's about as much show as anyone can stand.
So let's wrap it up. Tune in next week to listen to our take on the new gamer, the online / computer gamer versus the old school dice pencil and paper gamer. And we'll definitely play. Paul's going to put together some Tits and Dragons campaign stuff.
Yep.
And I'll find my Sally character and we'll make it happen. In the meantime, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.
Yeah.
Black Lightning, my man.